This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. What's up, world? Great to be with you on a Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Welcome in, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you for another Friday morning episode. Of the most ludicrous sports talk extravaganza anywhere, any day, anytime. We are always bringing it to you. I didn't even say anything yet. I mean, I'm gonna upset that one guy who gets real mad at the caption LFG on. Well, that one just felt unnecessary. That one just felt like you wanted to do it.
If someone's going to get mad, I mean, there's a good shot in where we live that the chances are that I'm probably right.
Just playing the numbers here. Just playing the numbers. Welcome in, everybody. Great to have you. 6 till 10 a.m. on the Rob Brown Show. Going ham at 6 a.m. Yes, we are. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, on the other side of the metaphorical glass. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how you all slept last night. I don't know how, after that Thursday night football game, any of you laid down and were able to calm down the blood pressure, to decrease the heart rate. I don't know how any of you were able to get a wink of sleep last night after what might have been the single... Can we be honest? It actually was a good game. It was a good football game. This is what I was talking about yesterday when I say to people, if you don't find the beauty from goal line to goal line, you only find beauty in the painted part of the field, you don't know ball, brother. You just don't. The beauty's in the game itself. There was beauty in that game last night. It was not a bad game. It just didn't have touchdowns in it.
There was sadness in this game because the vaunted 49ers coming into this season, everyone, the majority of people thought that they were going to be in the hunt for the Super Bowl, and look at them now. I don't. What happened?
McCaffrey ain't McCaffrey. Debo ain't Debo. That defense, for whatever reason. I mean, actually, can we give credit to the Niner defense last night? They held the Rams to 4 field goals. That's a Rams team that, now granted, they only put up 6 points, 2 field goals against a team that allowed, 42 last week. So that ain't great, Bob. But let's give a little bit of credit to the defenses on both sides of the field last night. Although I am going to say to all the fine people out there that when Rob Brown said, hey, maybe Brock Purdy's just an average quarterback surrounded by incredible talent. Maybe he's not worth $100 million. Maybe he's not worth resetting the entire quarterback market around the National Football League. And I had a bunch of people saying, hey, Rob Brown, you don't know ball, brother. And I went, whoa.
I'm sure he has an undisclosed injury that we're going to find out at the end of the season.
And let me tell you, you don't know ball.
I do know ball, brother. I do know ball. Brock Purdy is an okay quarterback. He's fine. He's not that good. He's not that bad, but he's not that good. He's fine. This is what happens, and this is, I'm not saying this is good or bad or whatever, but this is what happens when you put all of your metaphorical eggs into one proverbial basket. When you decide you're going to go all in one aspect of football, and then that aspect don't work out, you're cooked, my dudes. You're cooked. 2-6 across the last eight. You're cooked. When you get to a point where you go all, it's kind of like the, it's kind of like these people with the cryptocurrency stuff, right? They go all in. That's where they're gonna make all the money. They're gonna get all the money, and they get sucked in to the Hawk to a girl's coin, and they go all in on it. And then it don't work out. And the next thing you know, you got people needing to sue the Hawk to a girl because they gambled away their kids' college fund and they went all in on one basket. And then that basket broke and all the eggs broke. I went one step too far, but you get it. The San Francisco 49ers went all in on building the most elite group of skilled talent in the NFL. Well, guess what? Brock Purdy ain't that good. Once Trent went down, that offensive line ain't that good. And so they, and by the way, Christian McCaffrey, as I told you, was inevitable. He had last year one of the greatest years in the history of football. I mean, he was a supernova last year out of the backfield. But when you use that guy at that age, that much, with that much impact around him, eventually, you're going to run out of tread on the tires. McCaffrey's cooked. He's not coming back. I'm sorry. So you lose Christian McCaffrey, who was your, oh bleep, everything's going wrong, get the ball to 23 guy. He's gone. Debo, having all the pressure added to him, all of a sudden can't catch a simple crossing route. Did you see the drop he had last night? Dude, little slant right across the middle. There's not a ram within 8 feet of him. It hits him right on the one. Just bang, right center of the chest. Not between the numbers, like between the 9 and the in 49ers in that real little logo on the chest. Hit him right there, and he just drops it. Now, nobody's perfect. Everybody's going to have a case of the whoopsie daisies every now and then. Everybody is every now and then going to have a case of the O's. It happens. But, like, that was bad. That was real bad in a clutch moment. So everything is going downhill for the San Francisco 49ers. And what they don't have, and I told you they wouldn't, what they don't have is a guy who can be the guy at quarterback to carry it for a minute while everybody else gets right. And so now they got a guy who ain't the guy at quarterback to carry it when it's gone wrong until it gets right. They don't have a Debo Samuel that they can put at any position on the field and get the best out of him. They don't have their, oh no, holy crap, we're screwed, give it to McCaffrey guy. They have Kittle. And by the way, where the hell's Juszczyk been? What happened to Kyle Juszczyk? That dude for a while was just like a bulldozer in the red zone, and even he's disappeared.
Maybe he decided he didn't want to play.
Whew. And now I got, on top of all of that, now I got 49er defensive players that are like, hey, Kyle, this, I'm out. Later, bro. I'm done. Kevin just walks off the field. Third quarter, I'm gone. Bye. Bye, Felicia. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm out. Just Splitsville in the middle. To the point that everybody who came up to the podium last night had to be asked about Campbell. Everybody had to be asked about him. And that was pathetic, man. It was sad. So I got no McCaffrey. I got a Debo. And again, I'm not saying Debo can't fix it. Debo's a hell of a football player. But they needed him last night, and he wasn't there. So I got no Debo. Ayuk's done for the year. Now, what's that mean? What that means is I can commit extra defenders to George Kittle. I can bracket George Kittle, who is really, again, until Debo gets it right, George Kittle's the only down-the-field threat they got right now. That's a tight end. Granted, an exceptional one, but a tight end. I can bracket that guy because what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? You're running Isaac Guerrero, a practice squad guy, at me out of the backfield? I'm going to bracket Kittle and good luck to Brock Purdy. And as you saw last night, Brock can't do it. So, you know, on one hand, as a guy who does know ball, brother, I kind of enjoyed the game because it was two defenses that got to tee off on each other. This is what I'm talking about when we had this conversation very briefly. I didn't get into it as much as I'd like to, but we're going to today. This Steve Kerr tirade that he went on after the Rockets knocked the Warriors out of the NBA Cup Wednesday night. We're going to talk about Steve Kerr's tirade later today. Wanted to get to it yesterday. But you guys lit up the phone line towards the end of the show and lit up the text line towards the end of the show, so I didn't get a chance to, which I'm totally fine with, by the way. It is your show. I'm just here to be the facilitator. There's this mentality, and it is I credit, for the record, soccer for saving me from this mentality. Soccer saved me from this mentality. It is. Let me put my nose very high in the air. Quick, hand me something to drink so that I may stick my pinky out. It is a very American way of looking at sports. The only thing that matters is scores. The only thing that matters is touchdowns. This is why when you pop on to ESPN at the end of any given night and you're watching the sports centers, they go, all right, let's go to the highlights. And what do they show you? In football, they show you touchdowns. In basketball, they show you dunks. In baseball, they show you dongs. I got lunch to play America for dongs. Yeah. Getting the day started with a bang. So when they show you these sports, that's what they show you. They show you the home runs, the touchdowns, the three-pointers, and the slam dunks. But that's the result of the play. The result of the play is the touchdown. The play isn't a touchdown play. The play is a play that results in a touchdown. The dunk isn't the play. There was all this other stuff that had to happen to result in the dunk. The dong isn't the result of the dong. The dong is the result of the pitching matchup, the pitch that was selected, the pitch the batter was looking for, the placement of the baseball bat. There's so many things. The situation the batter was in on the field. There's all this stuff that goes into a touchdown or goes into a dunk or goes into a dong. And then, but all we've ever been conditioned to focus on is the touchdown or the dunk or the dong. Don't just focus on the dong. There's more going on, right? So when I watched this game last night, and I went to bed like end of the third period. It wasn't because I wasn't enjoying the game. It was just because I am a tired person most of the time. Didn't go to sleep. I fell asleep about 2:45 this morning. So last hour of the show is gonna be fun.
Yeah, I already knew that. The corrections.
I don't have to tell you. Daddy couldn't sleep last night. All right? Just one of them nights. The insomnia bug hath arisen. So I turned off the TV. I tried to go to bed. It didn't work. But for the three periods that I watched this game last night, I had to say I enjoyed it. I was entertained because it really wasn't bad football. There just weren't any touchdowns. But again, when you start learning to watch the play and not the result of the play, when you start learning to watch the X's and the O's and where guys are going and why, and route patterns and progressions and mesh schemes and blocking schemes and all these different aspects of football. And instead of just going boring, no score touchdowns, but if you actually start to watch the game. That game was actually pretty good. It really was a masterclass of two head coaches, two sets of coordinators that are very talented, feeling each other out. It was two brilliant football minds. You ever heard those interviews Sean McVay gives? You can find them on podcasts and stuff, where there's this game that podcasters love to play with Sean McVay. And they'll go, all right, let me take you back to week 9, 2022. You guys are on the road at Seattle. It's 3rd and 8. And that's all they'll give him. And McVay will be like, okay, yeah, we ran a play call. It was a double reverse end around to Debo, and he did this, and he got 17 yards. Like, he has this genius intellect of memory and about football. Like, genius intellect. Kyle Shanahan is a hell of a designer of plays. That's the reason San Francisco put all of, again, those metaphorical eggs in that proverbial basket. Because they said, whoa, this guy knows how to design up some schemes. We ought to get him a stable of Ferraris because he knows how to coach a race. Let's go. And it worked. So last night, what you had was a masterclass of two coaches playing chess against each other, using football players as the pieces. And if you were actually watching the football, it's a pretty good game. But the TV folks have got y'all conditioned to believe that the only thing that matters is touchdowns. That's all that matters. If no touchdowns are scored, that was a bad game. This is I went to a Major League Baseball game when I was like 23, 24. I was either coming out of or towards the end of the college era of Rob Brown. I was in my college era. And I went to a Braves game with a bunch of fraternity brothers. And it was like both pitchers worked a two or three hitter. There were like maybe four hits in that game entirely. And I remember very vividly a buddy of mine, Mark Caruso. He's a cop now. Good dude. I remember leaving that game and him from the parking lot all the way back to, or from the stadium all the way back to the parking lot, was absolutely pitching a fit. He's like, that's the most boring baseball game I've ever been to. We had like four base runners. I'm like, are you kidding me? That was one of the best games I've ever been. I can't remember who was pitching, but I remember it was like in total, there were like four hits all day long. And I'm like, that was a masterclass, dude. That was incredible. That was one of the best pitching duels I've ever seen. It was chess match from both guys on the bump. But all he had been, and this is around the time that this understanding started coming into my life, to him, it was an exceptionally boring baseball game because nobody got hits. Nobody hit home runs. If you learn to watch the game and not just the results, if you learn to watch the play but not just the result of it, you can actually enjoy games last night. You don't have to get up this morning and start texting the text line like this texter did that said, Rob, you're an idiot. That was boring. No, it wasn't. Learn to watch the play instead of the result of it. And games like last night suddenly are a hell of a lot less boring. I'm not saying there's never boring games. I'm saying last night wasn't. It was a masterclass and two head coaches that were at it. And I loved it. All right, we'll talk about that game. We'll talk about that game's impact on the NFL divisional races later on in the show. Got some college football awards that were handed out last night. We'll talk about those and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show. Happy Friday, y'all. It's the Fan Upstate. We don't have to spend a ton of time on this game because I know I'm like one of the few people, maybe the only person who enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I think it's one of those games that if you enjoy watching the play and not the result of it, pretty good game. Two master head coaches playing chess against each other and winning. I mean, it was a field position game. For what it was. I didn't hate it. But there was a very interesting moment in the third quarter where linebacker Devondre Campbell just skedaddled. Hasta luego, muchachos. Now, in the game, they didn't really know what was going on. In the game, they were unaware why Devondre Campbell was leaving the contest. I mean, he had a towel over his head. He was holding his helmet. He was fully dressed, and he just made his way to the locker room. And that came into play later on in the game because the 49ers had a couple of linebackers go down, and they were out of dudes at the position. So towards the end of that game, with the game on the line, towards the end of that game, San Francisco was having to shift up their base defense. They were having to run some 5-2. They were having to run some 4-2 with extra cornerbacks walked up. Like, they were having to work around that because they were out of bros. And after the game, Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, was asked why.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he didn't, said he didn't want to play today. Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Devondre opted to not go into the game. What do you need to do to ensure that you don't lose the rest of the locker room?
I haven't lost anybody. That's somebody who doesn't want to play football. It's pretty simple. I mean, I think our team and myself, we know how we feel about that. So I don't think we need to talk about him anymore.
I don't think we need to talk about him anymore. Yeah, I bet you do feel that way, Kyle.
Well, there was a hesitation. Anymore, as in he's gone.
Oh. Here is Tavarius Ward.
I mean, he's a professional. He's been playing for a long time. I mean, if he didn't want to play, he shouldn't have dressed out. You know, he could have told him that before the game. So I feel like there was some sucker that he did. Definitely hurt the team because, you know, D went down. And we needed a linebacker, you know. And I think Flynn was named up, too. So for him to do that, that's some sucker stuff to me, in my opinion. Like, it's probably going to get cut soon. So, you know, it is what it is with that.
There's a teammate, cornerback Tavarius Ward, who said, yeah, he's probably going to get cut soon. So, which, yeah, I'd say so.
Does he get picked up by anybody, though? If he's done playing football, playing football.
You and I both know the answer.
Yeah, but
to that
why? Can you imagine picking someone up like that who quit in the middle of a game?
We here at the Fill In Your Team Name Here believe in second chances. We here at the Fill In Your Team Name Here believe that he has learned his lesson and has grown into a better person and player. Come on, dude.
All right.
You know how this goes.
As a knower of ball, tell me the last time someone quit in the middle of a game like this.
Oh, I can't off the top of my head.
Because I don't recall it ever happening.
But let's keep it a buck here. If you're sitting there playing with two or three guys at a linebacker position that ain't no good, if you're thinned out at the linebacker spot and you're in a position for a Super Bowl run, a lot of teams would take a crack at it. A lot of teams would say, hey, let's see. You know what it's like? It's kind of like, Zoe, it's kind of like that lady who's really pretty, but she keeps cheating on boyfriends, and yet she keeps getting new boyfriends. Why? Because the new boyfriend always says, I can fix her. I can fix her. I can straighten her out. I can love you like that, and I can show you the world to where you'll not. And then all of a sudden, the person, that young lady, she runs off, gets the boom boom from another dude somewhere else a couple of weeks later, and the guy's like, why? I loved you so much. It doesn't matter. Tigers and stripes, leopards and spots, they don't change, baby. Now, I don't know. I don't know if there's a case that Devondre Campbell can be not that guy. But you and I both know there's going to be a team somewhere, if he does indeed get cut by the 49ers, there is going to be a team somewhere that is going to lay out the old press conference and say, we here at the XYZ Solos, we believe in second chances. And we believe that Campbell is a guy who has grown from this experience. He's learned his lesson, and he's a better man.
See, I disagree. I think the coaches around the league are going to go, oh, no, this might start a trend and people may start doing this. We can't pick this guy up. The only way that he survives this is if Shanahan gets fired. And then suddenly other guys come forward and say, yeah, man, he lost a team, and I get why he was doing all
Antonio
that.
Antonio Brown.
And looking forward to Antonio Brown.
Did
he quit in the middle of the game?
Hell yeah, he did. Third quarter. Took off his shirt and jersey and skipped through the end zone.
Well, that was...
Oh, it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
That looked painful.
Yeah, it didn't feel great.
Yeah. What year was that?
Brady, was it Brady's last year? So like 2021, 22?
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's the last one I can remember. I'm not. But also at the same time, like... You know, who knows if some, like, scrub that's never going to play did it.
You said it was Antonio Brown's. Like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It was Mr. CTE.
It was that guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
It was Mr. CTE that did it. I don't know, man. I
do you want to see this as a trend in the NFL where people just go, man, I don't feel like it today. Sorry, boss. I'm out.
Do you want
– that's what – because trends happen. Especially in sports.
Well, let's start with this.
Suddenly you have load management. That just didn't suddenly go boom everywhere.
True, but
a couple guys started doing that, then everyone started doing
that. But hang on. It is now empirically shown that load management is a good idea for certain players, right? The goal is win a championship, not entertain the fans. This is something that the anti-load management people. I get it. I understand it.
Without the fans, you have no game. Doesn't matter.
The goal of an NBA player is to go win a championship. And by the way,
I think the goal really is to get paid. But I mean,
the goal is to get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also get paid more if you win chips. The goal is to win chips.
That is very true.
So load management's a whole different story, but. Let's look at it from Devondre Campbell's spot. Let's start with this. Why didn't he want to play? Is there a reason he didn't want to play? Because for me, as Liberob the Woke Warrior, you know I will always take a player's side if the player has a justifiable grievance. Is there a reason? We don't know what was going on at practice and behind the scenes. Listen, Debo grabbed a mic on Tuesday or Wednesday and was going out there and whining and moaning, complaining about his lack of targets, and then he gets targeted in this game a few extra times, and he drops the ball. And I went, I mean, he's not wrong. I'm going to defend him, even though I don't necessarily want my primo wide receiver putting my starting quarterback and my offensive coordinator on blast on national television. I don't want that. But I get what he's saying, and he's not wrong. I'm interested to hear Devondre Campbell's side of the story. Was there something going on? Is there something behind the scenes? Was something said to him? Did somebody call him a dirty, rotten, no good son of a biscuit eater on the sideline? And he was like, yo, bleep this, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm sure that happened. And sports are different. Obviously, they're different. We watch them because in everyday life, if you're in the middle of your job, it's 2:30, you work till 5, and you're like, you know what? I don't feel like working anymore, and you just walk out.
So
how's your boss going to handle that?
Let me finish my thought here. So my thought here is, if somebody did something or said something that, because I've told people in my life before, you need to quit that job, because you do have a general manager or a manager or a boss who takes liberties or goes too far or acts in a way that is improper and nothing gets done about it. I have quit one job in my life, walked off one job in my life. I was the floor manager at a bank down in Destin, and I had a general manager, a regional manager. I had my manager in the branch, and I had the regional manager. And the regional manager, every time she visited, she wrote me up for something. Every single time. Anybody who's worked with me knows that Rob Brown is a, if nothing else, I may cuss up, I may drink a little bit, but I follow the rules, all right? I'm not a rule breaker. So I had a manager who came in and wrote me up every single time. And the last time she wrote me up was because I wasn't wearing socks under my Sperry's. I've told you this story before. Wasn't wearing socks under my Sperry's. Topsiders, not meant to be worn with socks. I wasn't wearing socks with my Sperry's. And she came in, she wrote me up. I've been wearing them for the probably at that point, year and a half, 2 years I've been working at this bank. But that day was a problem. And I went to my manager, a guy by the name of Brock. Won't give his last name. Don't know where he is. Don't really care. Went up to my manager, Brock, and I'm like, Brock, You got to defend me, bud, right? Like, every time the regionals manager's name was Tanya, I'm just spilling all the tea. Every time Tanya comes up in here, she writes me up for some absolute and entire bull, and you know it is. And you know it is. You got to go to bat for me, man. Like, I can't do this. I am being denied the opportunity to be promoted in this business and in this industry, something I was good at, hated it, but was good at it. I'm being denied the opportunity to get promotions because every time one comes up and I ask for it, they go point to my disciplinary file where I got 100 write-ups from one person. You got to defend me. And he said, I can't risk it. I can't risk my job, my career to defend you from all this. And I went, cool. So and I walked.
So
I bounced.
He F5'd you.
100%. He said, I'm not putting my career and my promotion on the line. Which, by the way, I'm not even mad at Brock Ford. I understand. I understand. Last I heard, that man was in a regional position job. He was making six figures. I get it. But when I went to my coordinator and said, yo, the GM's coming up in here and she is giving me hell and I need you to defend me because you know it's unjustified. And he goes, I can't lay down for you like that. I can't take that bump for you. I went, cool. Well, then I'm out. Good luck finding the new guy. Because if you're not going to do it for me, I'm not going to go out there and just be a sturdy good worker for you to make all the money. Right? So I'm saying there may maybe there's something behind the scenes going on here that caused this to happen. But here's where you lose me. When George Kittle and Tre'Davious Ward come out and they grab the mic and they go, yeah, screw that guy. That guy's gone. When the teammates are not avoiding and going, I don't have an answer to that. I plead the fifth. But straight up going, yeah, he gone. I don't want to be around that guy. Now I know it's a bit of an issue in the San Francisco locker room. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Got a few more things I want to get to. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. The Rob Brown Show rolls on the Fan Upstate.
Can you look at your elbow? I can't. I'm trying to look at my... I guess, is it physically possible to look at your elbow? Why are you not trying? I just want to see if it's just me. Wait a minute. It's the size of the guns that are stopping me from looking. Okay, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can see the gun show if you're on the stream.
Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. If you want to come by and, I quote, see the guns. Metaphorical guns. We're not strapped for heat while we do the show.
I got an arsenal
that you know of.
I got an arsenal up in here, y'all.
Oh, it's an artillery show. Ugh.
We can't see yours because you went full hipster today. It is matching though. It is matching.
I will have you know, I went hipster on the outside, redneck on the inside with the Raise Hell, Praise Dale shirt.
Oh, we talked about Dale last week on the Upstate Pulse.
Did you?
Dale Chihuly.
That's not Dale.
His name is Dale.
No.
Right.
But if you say Dale, there ain't but one of them.
So at the Biltmore, they always say Experience Chihuly, and I wanted to know what it was, and someone said that he's a glassblower, and his first name's Dale. Dale Chihuly. So when you're praising Dale Chihuly right there on your shirt.
No. Ain't one
Dale Chihuly.
Dale. It's kind of like Madonna or Cher. I can say Britney, and you know the Britney. You know the ain't but one Britney. We all know 50 Britneys.
Yeah, she's married to Patrick Mahomes.
The Carlito girl was Britney, all right? But there ain't but one Britney. When I say Britney, even I know the Britney we're talking about here.
Britney Mahomes.
No. No, she's like 19th on the list of Britneys.
Oh, no, you're talking about the Britney who said that she's 5 years old and going to kindergarten. That one.
Steve Kerr and his Golden State Warriors.
Speaking of crazy.
See, the Houston Rockets done screwed up because the Houston Rockets were supposed to let the Golden State Warriors win so that they could go on to win the, as Lonzo has called it many times, obviously rigged NBA Cup.
Right, there's anger. When you know something's going to happen, like say you play.
That's what it is.
Your bookie is like, listen, mm-hmm. man, this is a sure shot. You're mm-hmm. going to win money here, and then you don't. Or let's say you're doing insider trading and it doesn't work. You're going to get angry. They change the script on you right when you're doing the thing.
I want to say that's a very easy thing to say when you're wrong about something.
Listen, I'm easy like Sunday morning.
So, by the way, you asked about can you see your elbow? And within 5 seconds, I received a text that said, is Lonzo high this morning? I want what he's on.
If you would call living life, and even though things are not going well physically, but knowing that I have a job that I shouldn't be in, but I've been doing it for going on 28 years and you know, stuff like that, beautiful family, all that kind of stuff. If I'm high on that, yes. I don't do that other stuff. I'm sorry that, you know, I had a few moments of clarity and realized that I couldn't look at my elbow because of the guns. It sounds like jealousy. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like jealousy. And you won't even attempt it to help my theory, but other people in the stream are helping me out. So, I mean, gun shows everywhere, baby. It's Friday. It's Friday. Gun show day.
So in the rigged NBA Cup, the Houston Warriors decide that they are going to upset the commish by going against the script. They went into business for their damn selves is what they did, all right? They didn't stick to the script, and now they got to rewrite the whole thing. And the way that they did it towards the end of the game, that's what the Rockets said. And then, well, I'll just let you hear the chaos at the end of the game.
About a three-second difference, shot to game clock as Brooks chases Curry. And everyone standing here in Houston. Curry steps back on a launch. He missed it. Fight for the rebound. Payton poked away. 5 seconds. Boy, does Green have possession? And Billy Kennedy says foul on the Warriors.
What a sequence of events. As Steve Kerr is in disbelief.
Golden State is out of fouls. And so that will result in free throws for Houston and Jalen Green. Unbelievable.
Well, right there, diving on the loose floor. Gary Payton II could have called a timeout. Threw the pass out. Great job, Jalen Green, getting on the floor.
So Jalen Green goes down. He ends up getting the basketball. He is fouled on the floor. He goes to the other end, knocks down two free throws. The Rockets take a one-point lead with 3.5 seconds left to play. The Dubs can't get a shot off, and Houston wins the NBA Cup quarterfinals. They are on their way to the semifinals, where they'll be playing for a ticket to Vegas.
I thought we were going to hear Steve Kerr.
You are about to hear Steve Kerr, right. Because after the game was over, Steve Kerr, who at one point in that video, they show him on the sideline, and he has got a look on his face. When I say slack jaw, I mean dude's jaw is around like the middle of the zipper on the quarter zip, like aghast.
You mean like right? The mummy?
Yeah, and like, okay. You know how in the old cartoons there was the wolf at the table and the bombshell would come out to sing a song laying on top of the piano and the wolf's jaw would drop down and hit the restaurant table and then his eyes would pop out and he would make the awooga sound? It was that. That's what Steve Kerr looked like. Like he looked like he had just seen Jessica Rabbit make her debut on stage. Just yeah. That's what he looked like. So he goes into the post-game press conference, and Steve Kerr sounds like this.
Ball situation, 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen that. I think I saw it in college one time, 30 years ago. Never seen it in the NBA. That is, I mean, unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened. You know, loose ball, diving on the floor, 80 feet from the basket, and you're going to give a guy two free throws to decide the game when people are scrambling for the ball. Just give them a timeout. Give them a timeout and let the players decide the game. That's how you officiate, especially because the game was a complete wrestling match. You know, they didn't call anything. Steph Curry got hit on the elbow, plain as day, on a jump shot. Just clubbed right on there, no call. So you've established you're just not going to call anything throughout the game. It's a physical game. We're going to call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line. This is a billion-dollar industry. You got people's jobs on the line. I am stunned. I am stunned. I give the Rockets credit. They battle back. They play great defense all night. But I feel for our guys. Our guys battled back, played their asses off, and deserved to win that game or at least have a chance for one stop. at the end to finish the game. And that was taken from us by a call that I don't think an elementary school referee would have made, because that guy would have had feel and said, you know what, I'm not going to decide a game on a loose ball 80 feet from the basket.
All right. So that was a lot of Steve Kerr going on and 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 on about how he doesn't think, the losing coach, doesn't think that that foul should have been called. If I had to guess, I would make the sneaky guess that Ime Udoka, the head coach of the Rockets, would say, that was a great call, Bob. Great call, bud. Two thumbs up. A+, 5 stars. Positive Yelp review for you. It, to me, kind of goes back to a conversation we've had a handful of times on this radio program. My dudes, if it's a foul in the first minute, it's a foul in the last minute. If it's a foul in the first 3 seconds, it's a foul in the last 3 seconds. We cannot change the rules of the game to create a more compelling finish. That is literally scripting the game. It is the same thing that has generated for me. It is the same game that the same concept that has generated for me this very, very frustrating scenario of the golden at bat being discussed in Major League Baseball. That is scripting the game. You know, we want to create a world where a baseball team can just send up any guy they want to hit at any time. Well, we all know that if a coach has that tool at his disposal, when's he going to use it? In the ninth inning when they're down one and it's dramatic as hell. That's the whole point. So I would say to Steve Kerr, hey, man, it was a foul. Jalen Green had possession of the ball. I think it was Kuminga who dived on him. I think it was either him or, hey, you know, it wasn't Draymond because Jalen Green's not in the hospital today. Because Draymond would have hit him with a Seth freaking Rollins curb stomp in that moment. So it wasn't him. But I think it was Kuminga. I'm not sure. Doesn't really matter. There was a foul called. It was a foul. Don't foul. Don't foul. I don't know what you want me to say, Steve. Don't foul. Oh, what they should have done is given him the timeout and given us a chance. Why? You fouled. Why should Houston not get the benefit of a foul and two free throws to put the game away? Why is it more important that your team, who did the foul, why is it more important that your team be given a shot at a defensive stop? If that team is shooting field goals at a 45% clip and free throws at a 70% clip, one of those makes it easier to win the game. So why should that team, who did not do a foul, why should that team have their opportunity to win the game diminished for the sake of your team having a better chance to win? There was still a chance for you to win the game. Maybe Jalen Green goes down there, he bricks a couple of freebies, and now you've got 3.5 and the ball game in hand. Or maybe he makes one and you've got 3.5 with a tied ball game and a chance to win it and avoid OT. Or maybe he goes down there and makes them both. And now you've got the ball down one with 3.5 left to play and a chance to do something special. You got Steve Kerr. You got old whiz kid of the three-point line, Steph Curry, don't you? Hadn't that been the entire thing about Steph is hitting 30-footers, 38-footers with no time left? Isn't that guy's entire thing? Run a play, Steve. Run a play to get Steph open from the timeline and let him be Steph Curry. Wouldn't that be entertaining as hell? Yeah. But this whole thing about how we got to make the game more entertaining, we have to bend the rules in the last 10, 15 seconds. We got to bend the rules in the last 10, 15 seconds so that we get more of an entertaining game. That is literally scripting the game. It is a conspiracy that sports fans, especially the NBA, has been fighting for 100 years. And here's Steve Kerr going, you can't call a foul. That is definitely a foul. You can't call a foul when it's late in the game because it takes away our chance to win. Yeah, that's how basketball works, Steve. That's how basketball works. That's why there are fouls. Every time you foul, you make it a little harder for your team to win the game. That's why they're in the game. That's why they're called penalties. They penalize you. They make it harder. What are we doing, Steve Kerr? And here's the thing. I don't dislike Steve Kerr as a coach. I will be honest. I think Steve Kerr is the Brock Purdy of coaches. I think he's fine, and he was just gifted for a number of years with an exceptional roster of talent that probably with a guy like a Phil Jackson would have won 2 or 3 more rings than they did.
I think he's the most do-you-know-who-I-am coach in the NBA.
Maybe so. Maybe so, but I'm not. Again, I'm going to stand by my Brock Purdy comparison. I feel like I could have gone in that Warriors in their prime with Steph and Draymond and Clay and all these cats. I feel like I could have coached them to at least one ring. Right? Just, hey, y'all go do Steph, Draymond, and Clay stuff. Let me know what you need from me. I'll get you some Gatorade at the next time out or whatever. I got you, dog. I think he's fine. But when I got the head coach coming out here and going, you can't call that foul because it makes it tougher for us to win. Yes, that's basketball, Steve. You of all people should know this. I don't know. Is it weird that this bothers me this much? Because I feel like it shouldn't. And maybe it should. I don't know. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run to a break. Do want to let you know, the lovely Lulu Kesson will be joining us at 8 o'clock to talk Gamecock football today. But between here and there, you're going to get not one, but two. This is the first of Lonzo Sports Flashes. A
lot of things going on last night, including awards handed out. Travis Hunter was awarded the Associated Press College Football Player of the Year with 26 of 43 votes. Beating out Boise State tailback Ashton Genty and Arizona State running back Cam Scataboo. Hunter was also named the Walter Camp Player of the Year, Chuck Bednarik Defensive Player of the Year, and Biletnikoff Award for Best Wide Receiver. Genty won the Doak Walker for Best Running Back, while Miami's Cam Ward won the Davey O'Brien Award for Best Quarterback. Indiana coach Kurt Cignetti won the National Coach of the Year Award. South Carolina defensive end Kyle Kennard won the Bronco Nagurski Trophy as top defensive player. Tune in tomorrow at 11:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the South Carolina State Bulldogs. It's Furman versus SC State right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.